FBI Studios. This is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Roth. After last week's look at Chad Birnbaum's police interviews and trial testimony about guns that Robert may or may not have owned, we were left with a lot of questions. In this episode, a lot of those questions will be answered by Robert himself. In October of 2007, just over a year after the murders, a search warrant was executed and Robert's house was searched by police. During that search, two guns were found: a World War II-era bolt-action rifle and a 12-gauge shotgun. After the search, Robert was detained at the Riverside County Sheriff's Department, and what you're about to hear is Detective Gary LeClaire taking another stab at trying to draw something out of Robert that could justify charges being filed. As you know, that did not happen. Shortly after this interview, the investigation was suspended, and the case went cold for the next 7 years. The reason that I'm playing this interview for you is because this is a very long interrogation that takes place after a full year of investigating. By this point, LeClaire has phone records, he's interviewed dozens of witnesses, he's conducted the search, and now he knows the right questions to ask. You be the judge in determining if LeClaire made the right decision after this interview when he released Robert from custody and chose not to file charges. This is Season 12, Episode 53, Robert's 2007 Interview, Part 1.
Texas Ranger James Holland is a legendary interrogator. They call him the serial killer whisperer.
You can't hide those indications, and that's why yesterday I knew that you did it.
But now, shocking interrogation tapes reveal how the super cop really operates.
And that's why they asked me to come in, because I'm special.
From Something Else, The Marshall Project, and Sony Music Entertainment, this is Smokescreen. Just Say You're Sorry. Listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As I mentioned in this week's follow-up, this interview is really long. It goes on for hours. On several occasions, LeClaire leaves the room for long periods of time and then returns with more questions or to take a DNA sample. Now, I did edit out those long gaps of silence when he's out of the room. But today's episode contains just the first 80 minutes of the interview. Tomorrow, I'll be publishing part two. So without any further ado, let's get started now with part one.
Hey, Robert.
How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Well, I just don't know what's going on. No one tell me if I'm under arrest or what the deal is.
Okay. Well, I'll be happy to kind of explain everything that's going on. So you're kind of well aware. You doing all right right now? You don't have no physical injuries?
Oh, no, sir.
Anyone mistreat you?
No,
make
sir.
You any promises, threats, or anything like that?
No, sir.
Okay. You know who I am?
Are you LeClaire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detective LeClaire?
Yes, sir.
You remember who I am?
Yeah.
Okay. You have any idea what's going on today?
Well, it obviously has to do with the Freedleys, Rebecca and her mom or stepdad.
Okay. You on probation right now for anything?
Yes, sir.
What are you on probation for?
It was a petty theft.
Okay. And that's all taken care of?
Yes, I just finished my community service for it. And, yeah.
Would you do, like, weekends or something?
Yeah, no, I did it, four days a week. Just got it all of the way a couple weeks.
Okay. I take it you're still living on Peacock, right? Who lives at that address?
Me, my mom, and my little sister.
Okay. And how old is she when you say little?
12.
Okay. You have, does your grandma still live across the street?
Yes, sir.
I mean, she physically lived there?
Oh, no. It belongs to her, but she actually lives the majority of her time at a house she has in Los Angeles.
Does anyone live in her house across from you?
No. No one currently lives there. It's really just a summer house that she has.
Okay. You're not under the influence of anything right now? You're coherent and everything like that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Obviously, we're here because I've been investigating. this murder for some time. Some information came to light. I've taken some information to a judge. He reviewed the facts. He kind of agreed with my assessment. Obviously, we had the search warrant for your home. I have a search warrant to collect your DNA. Is that all right with you?
But that's fine. The blood sample or?
No, it's something easier than that. It's just like a saliva sample. You know, you just stick a Q-tip in your mouth and collect a saliva sample from your, like your cheek.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm sure you probably have some questions.
That's something I'd volunteer.
Okay.
Obviously, there's a little more reason for the, the search warrant maybe obtained and everything.
Okay.
Well, and am I under arrest or,
Well, you're not free to go right now because we got an obligation to meet our requirements of our search warrant and obtain certain things. But let me, if you have something to say that could change my mind or my direction, I'm really willing to hear what you have to say. However, because you're at the police station and you've been here for several hours, I am required to read you your rights.
Okay.
Okay. So let me do that. You have the right to remain silent. Do you understand?
I understand that.
Anything you say may be used against you in court.
I understand.
Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You have the right to the presence of an attorney before and during any questioning. Do you understand?
I understand that.
If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed for you free of charge before any questioning if you want one.
Okay. Yes, sir.
You understand all that?
Yes, sir.
Does it kind of make sense to you?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Obviously, you've gone through the court process before with this petty theft thing. What do you think about all this?
I just don't know what would lead you to believe that, I'm responsible for it. I understand that speaking with me and everything, just the fact that, I was close with her and things like that. I understand that. I just don't understand what, validates the search warrant and things like that. I don't understand.
Okay. I'd be happy to kind of explain some of those things. Maybe if I can get a little bit of personal information from you first, then we can kind of get into that, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Do you work in or anything?
I was working with my uncle for the summer, and then I stopped that when school started. And then that was right about when I started doing the community service. So I just made that. Every day I didn't have school, I did community service, so... Now, actually, I had a job interview with the county today, but I'm assuming I missed that.
What type of job were you looking for?
I did community service at the Coachella Valley Animal Campus. It's like a county-owned animal shelter, and they had openings for temporary workers, and I was going to interview for that.
Okay. Well, it's been a while since we talked. And I don't know what's changed in your life. I think last time we talked, you were working at the Not So City. You're not there no more?
No.
Have you had any other jobs since the water park?
Circuit City.
Okay. How long did you work there for?
6 months.
Okay. Where'd you go after that?
After that, I went... after that, then there was just a short time where I was unemployed, then I went to work with my uncle for a few months, 2-3 months, something like that.
What's his name?
Greg Pape, Gregory Pape.
Where does he live around here?
He lives with, he takes care of my grandma, so he's her son. He lives with her, taking care of her.
And did you say it was in L.A. or something?
It's in Alhambra, which is 20 minutes out of L.A.
What about, you haven't got married since, have you? You got a girlfriend or anything like that?
Yes.
Who's your girlfriend now?
Her name is Sarah Honaker.
Okay. Same person?
Yes.
How long have you guys been going out?
Year and a little over 7 months, I think.
What kind of relationship has that developed into?
I feel like it's pretty serious. And, you know, we've talked about marriage and stuff like that, but, you know, right now we're just trying to get our lives going.
Where does she live at?
She lives in Cathedral City.
Okay. Does she work or anything?
Yes, she works at at the river. It's called Volta. It's a makeup. They sell makeup.
Okay. What do you do when you're not working or hanging out at home? Like, what's your hobbies?
I really haven't been up to much. I've really spent most of my free time just hanging out at my house with my girlfriend. I'm a pretty big video gamer, so that's usually, I guess that would be my hobby.
Okay. Last time we talked, you were talking about a career in the military.
Mm-hmm. I'd thought about that a lot, but just with my relationship with my girlfriend and stuff, just getting a little serious, I'm not quite sure I'm going to continue with that. But I have been looking into law, as far as like, I've been completely figured out where, you know, there's correctional systems, there's patrol officers, things like that. I am taking a introduction to administration of justice at the College of the Desert. And I think I'm going to try out the peace officer training course.
Who's your instructor at COD?
Dr. That was funny. I was just thinking about, I always forget his name, Clayton Mace. That's what it is, Dr. Clayton Mace.
Do you have any other classes there at the school other than that one?
Yes, I have a psychology of family and marriage, and I also have two economics classes.
Well, that should help with your relationship with your girlfriend, the psychology class.
That was kind of the reason she's taking that with me.
Not a good thing then. You both are learning the same.
Yeah.
Other than your shoplifting, any other arrests or anything like that?
No, sir.
You have a probation officer?
Not that I know of. You know, they just said I'm on probation.
Okay. Have you've met all your conditions of probation and things like that?
What do you mean?
Were you supposed to do anything else?
No. There was just community service, and then I just have to stay away from Circuit City for 2 years.
You were supposed to get fingerprinted too, right?
I did. No! For the with the petty theft, they the attorney or whatever lawyer or whatever that was appointed spoke with them, and I guess, you know, they were saying that, yeah, I guess that was just one of the things they decided I didn't have to do.
Okay.
She said she talked to him. She's like, oh, you gotta go pay $10 and go stand in line over to Indio and stuff like that. But she's like, well, you know, I got to talk to him. They said you don't have to do it anymore.
Who told you that?
The attorney that was appointed to me.
So you had a public defender?
Public defender, that's.
All right, well. More specifically, kind of tell me in your own words why we're talking today.
That's what I don't know. I haven't been, no one's really said really anything, just that they mentioned your name, and so I assumed it was from that case. Probably remember that officer. He's like, yeah, that's what it pertains to. And that was about it. No one said if I'm under arrest or if I'm not, or what.
Well, we're talking about Becky Freely.
Okay.
Okay. And her murder.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that's some of the things we're discussing. How do you feel today about talking to me about that?
Like, in what way? Do I about that case in general, or actually talking to you? I mean,
no, how do you feel about, you know, does it make you sad, make you happy? I mean, she was a friend of yours.
Well, yeah, we dated for over about a year and 2 or 3 months and stuff, and yeah, we were really close. And, when it first happened, it was hit kind of close, but it, you know, It's just, you know, over time, just like I had an uncle die about a year ago or something. And then, you know, that was bad too, but just a little bit of time. But I guess the worst part now is just not knowing, you know, what happened.
Okay. If you had anything to do with what happened to her, you need to tell me right now.
Okay. Well, I didn't.
Okay. Do you know for sure who did?
No.
Do you have any idea who did?
I have not the slightest idea. The only thing that, you know, I'd spoken with her family, they talked about how her mom and her stepdad were in some kind of serious debt, and they brought up the idea of something about like a loan shark or something, but I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that's like something I seriously believe or anything. I don't know.
Who told you that?
It was one of Rebecca's sisters, Tiffany.
Do you know Tiffany more, you know, is Tiffany a friend of yours, or do you know her more?
I haven't spoken with her since I broke up with Rebecca.
I mean, what was your relationship with Tiffany?
Wasn't really. It's just the only time I ever spoke with her was when I would visit Rebecca when she lived up in Santa Clarita.
Okay. Is there anyone you can eliminate from this investigation?
Kirshen, I suppose. He was the only one who was, he was with me during that time.
Okay.
And, I don't know anyone who would or who wouldn't. I haven't found anyone to have any motive to. I wouldn't understand why.
Well, tell me why you didn't do it.
Why I didn't? Well, aside from the fact that there's no gain for me. You know, I was already broken up with her. It wouldn't benefit me at all. But other than that, you know, I wouldn't kill anyone anyway.
You think you're capable of doing something like that?
Killing someone? No. I mean, especially the things I heard. You know, found her in a wheelbarrow or stuff like that, and that seems really, you know, gruesome and stuff. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Do you actually think it happened the way people say it happened?
I don't know how anything happened. All I know is that she was in the wheelbarrow and two other people were in the house. Or actually, I don't even know if the wheelbarrow was outside. I just assumed. But
did you ever tell anyone, even jokingly, that you were involved? Are you willing to take a polygraph to verify your truthfulness?
I just like to know, like, why it is so, like, why I'm such a suspect, I'd say, you know. And if we're getting into, like, all that, I suppose that, you know, I'd want some sort of, like, legal advice, you know, some sort of advisor or something. Okay.
What if someone had told me that they saw you driving on Highway 74 that day?
I'd say they were mistaken.
Okay. Do you remember that day?
The only reason I remember as much as I do is just because I had said it so many times, you know, before, and it, you know, I know what I was, you know, the things I did. I don't remember times at all, really.
Okay. So with that in mind, you think you could kind of give me a recollection of that particular day, you know, from the time you woke up? Actually, maybe from, you know, your work, because I know you worked that day.
I guess that'll be my starting point. I just remember that I worked that day, and I suppose I drove home, I think. So I think I had my car at that time. And before that, I had just gotten rides with Christian. But I suppose I drove home, and I was supposed to hang out with Christian that day, but I hadn't gone to church because I'd worked I worked the morning mass. The church we go to is at 10:30, and we missed that, and they don't have an evening mass. So I was going to try to go out to a mass at Sacred Heart. And as we were driving out that direction, I gave them a call and found out we'd missed it. So we went back over to Christian's, and they were playing games at some point, and then went paintballing.
Well, which church did you miss from the morning service?
St. Louis. That's in, it's by the Mary Pickford Theater.
Okay.
It's just south of that.
So, do you attend church regularly?
I try to. I try to.
Which is your regular church?
St. Louis.
So why Sacred Heart?
Sacred Heart is the church that my family and I go to if we don't attend the morning mass. Because St. Louis doesn't have an evening mass.
Is St. Louis, I would assume is it a Catholic church also?
Yes, sir.
So you get home from work, and you decide to go to church.
Yes, sir.
Did you go somewhere specifically when you left your house?
No, I don't know. When we were going to go to the church.
Okay, but before going to Christian's house, did you guys go anywhere between your house and Christian's house?
No, I don't believe we stopped anywhere.
Okay. You said you decided to go to Sacred Heart. How did you find out there was no service or the service?
I got the number in a phone book before we left. No, I called 411 on the way. And I called them, and we were driving out there. Called, and I was asking what time the mass was. And I still don't remember when the mass was and what time it was, but we missed it. And so I'm like, all right, we'll just go back to your house.
You called on your way there. Where's there?
Sacred Heart.
No, you said you called while you're on the way there.
On my way there.
What's there? The church? Christian's house? Another place?
On my way to the church. We just called the church. You know, directory or whatever.
Where's the Sacred Heart Church located?
Sacred Heart is on... it's like Cook and something. What's the name of that street that's next to... that runs alongside College of the Desert. I'm really bad with street names. Is it Fredwaring? There's Monterey, and then there's Magnesia Falls that's north of COD, the one that's south of that. It's off of that street.
Fredwaring would be south of COD?
Yeah, Fredwaring. Okay. Yeah, it's off of Fredwaring.
Okay. Do you know anybody there?
At the church?
Yeah.
No.
Did you talk to anyone you know, or?
No, because we, you know, like I said, we only go there if we miss the morning mass.
So, I mean, did you actually talk to a person when you called, or?
Yeah. Someone picked up, and I just asked them what time mass was, that their evening mass there.
Do you remember where you were at when you made that phone call?
I don't remember.
Could you approximate it?
I don't remember at all. Christian was driving, and I was playing with my phone, calling 411 and stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with the free 411 number, and you have to, it's one of the, you know, it's not a real operator, and you have to, like, say the name, and then but sometimes it doesn't work the way it's supposed to.
Well, you left your house in Rancho Mirage, correct?
Yes, sir.
And Christian lives in Cathedral City, right?
Yes, sir.
And Sacred Heart is in Palm Desert.
Yes, sir.
So when you left your house, maybe you can approximately give me an idea when you would have made the phone call, you know, within a minute of leaving, within 20 minutes of leaving.
Well, like I said, I called 411, and I really don't remember how long it took me to get the number.
Okay. Did you guys drive to Palm Desert?
I'm not sure where exactly the city limits is, but I believe we entered Palm Desert.
Okay. Do you remember which way you would have traveled?
I really don't remember. I wasn't paying attention to streets at all.
If you were to drive there today from your house, what would you think would be the normal route you would take?
If I drove there, I don't know. I've tried taking Frank Sinatra all the way out. I've taken 111 to, tried taking 111 out there, and I've also taken Frank Sinatra to Monterey, gone down that way, because that's the way I go to school. So it'd be, I don't think I would have gone Frank Sinatra all the way down to, was that Cook or whatever? I don't think I would have gone that way. But anything gone down Monterey or gone taking 111. Oh, and Christian was driving. I suppose we probably took 111 since Christian was driving. I don't think he knows that area as well.
Okay. What car was Christian driving?
He was driving his dad's car. It's an Acura something. I don't know what the model was.
Okay. What kind of car did you drive?
I have an Acura Legend.
So if you're driving, if you guys are in a car driving to Sacred Heart, and we're trying to get an idea where you're going, where you're at, I mean, are you able to recall a business, an intersection, somewhere specifically that maybe you guys turned around in, stopped at?
I honestly don't remember
that. Did you get gas, go to ATM?
I don't believe we stopped anywhere. I think we were just driving, and then we ended up turning around and just going to his house.
Okay. So tell me, specifically, what happened when you got to his house?
Oh, crap. I really don't remember that day very much at all anymore. I probably should have written it down or something, but I think we just got to his house, and we wanted to go paintballing him, because the gun that I had, I'd gotten it from my friend, and it didn't work all that well, and I was going to try to see if I could get it to shoot right. And so we were hanging out at his house, and ended up going out there, and we were out there for a while, and came back. And
what do you mean by going out there?
Oh, we went out to behind James Workman Middle School. There's like that big desert area, but there's a spot where there's a lot of like tables and chairs and a bunch of stuff that people brought out there specifically for paintballing. So that's where we're going out to play with the guns, but yeah, basically trying to fix my gun the whole time. I think Christian's worked pretty well.
Were you able to use your gun at all?
Yeah, I fired a few, I believe, but I mean it kept leaking air, so it didn't last very long.
How long were you guys out to school for?
We were out there for I don't remember the time, but I know we were paintballing for a while, and then Trish ended up losing his keys, and then that took a little while too.
Where did he lose the keys at?
He dropped them somewhere. I don't remember exactly where.
Okay. So what happened after that?
We just went home. I'm not even sure if I went back to his house or not, or if he just took me straight home. Maybe. But then before we went to my house, we stopped at a gas station. I remember that because I was getting a chapstick for my cousin, and then after that he took me home, and I was hanging out with my cousin ever since.
What was your cousin's name?
Martin Johnson.
Martin?
Yes.
Johnson? Where does he live now?
Well, he's going to school up at UC Davis. He's staying on campus somewhere.
At UC Davis?
Yeah. No, near Sacramento.
Oh. How old is he?
Oh, crap. Probably 23, something like that.
Do you have any brothers?
I have one older brother, I have an older sister, and my younger sister.
There's a couple of photographs in your house on the wall. Picture you by your little sister. There's another guy in the photograph. Kind of looks younger than you. Who would that be?
Another guy in a photograph? It could be any one of my cousins.
I've got right when you go in the door.
I don't, memorize my pictures, but I've got my grandma had seven children. So we, okay. Our family branched out. It could have been any of my cousins.
He's in several of the pictures, and you guys...
Wait, does he wear skate clothes, though? Because it may end up being my older brother who actually looks younger than me. He's only 5'7".
There was one picture on the wall with, I don't know if it was your sister or a couple of girls, and they looked like they're like doing some Charlie's Angels, you know, with their fingers or something.
I remember that picture. And there was some like foliage in the background.
Yeah.
It was like at my grandma's backyard.
I saw you're in the picture, right?
Yeah.
Who was the other guy?
It should be my brother. My older brother. He's 20. Oh, crap. No, he's 30 now.
Does he look younger than you?
Yeah. He's only 5'7", and he dresses like he's 12.
Okay. And who are the girls in there?
Yeah, it would probably be my older sister and my younger sister.
Okay. How old is your older sister?
24 or 5.
Okay.
She's had a birthday. I think she's 25.
So going back to after you guys were paintballing, were you guys with anyone else paintballing?
No. No, it was just us because we were just messing around with the guns.
Did you guys talk to anyone? Anyone come by that you know and, hey, what's going on?
Well, no, because it's kind of like back like behind the school almost. So, I mean, you're not going to like see someone driving through the...
Well, I mean, no other paintballers there?
Mm-hmm.
You talk to anyone on the phone while you're out there?
I don't believe so. If anything, maybe my girlfriend or something, but I don't know.
I mean, would you typically have your phone with you?
Sometimes, but I mean, we were planning on doing some like, you know, little skirmishes, just us two. So if anything, I'd probably put my phone in the car or something because I wouldn't want to get it all dirty because, you know, it's all desert.
Okay. Would you leave your phone on or off?
It's very possible I'd turn it off.
Why would you do that?
Why would I turn it off? Just because it saved battery. My phone, a lot of times I'll use it to, it plays MP3s, so a lot of times I'll use it to play that, so it runs out of battery fairly quickly.
Do you remember what time you guys finished up?
I don't remember times much at all. The only time like I vaguely remember was, I believe my cousin said I got home like 9 o'clock or something, 9:30, something like that.
Why didn't your cousin go with you guys?
I believe he was working on his car at the time. His car, he still has a, he was, since no one's actually living at my grandma's house, he brought his car down to work on it. And I believe his, you know, that was his goal, just get that finished. He still actually hasn't done it yet, still in the garage.
Is there anything illegal at your house?
There shouldn't be anything illegal. I've got a rifle registered to myself, and the only other thing was there's a shotgun that was, it was my uncle's who had deceased, and even I asked Clayton Mays, my instructor, he should recall me asking that, you know, how I would get to register that. And he had given me a name, but I hadn't followed up on it yet.
Okay.
So I'd say that'd be the closest thing to be legal.
So the rifle is registered to you?
Yes, sir.
Is that a violation of your probation? Do you have any firearm restrictions?
Well, I had owned it before they got the probation. So, I mean, I just assumed that they'd tell me if I couldn't have a firearm.
Okay. What kind of rifle?
It's like a World War II era Russian Mosin Nagant. It's a 7.62x54. Big, fairly large round.
Does it still work?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you said this other one was a shotgun?
Yes, sir.
What kind of shotgun?
It's a Winchester 1300 Defender.
Okay. What gauge is that?
12 gauge.
Where would they be found at? The rifle and the shotgun?
I keep those under my bed.
Okay. And the shotgun, who would that be registered to?
Like I said to Dr. Mays, I'm not even sure if my uncle had it registered because he kind of just lived out by himself. But I was actually hoping to have it registered to myself soon, yeah. So I don't know.
So it may or may not be registered to your uncle?
Yes, sir. But either way, he's deceased, so I don't know if they keep it registered or not. I don't know how that works.
Okay. And his name is what, your uncle?
Theodore Pape.
Okay. What city did he live in before he passed?
He lived out in, it was near Pear Blossom. It was called, I don't recall. I can't remember the name of the city that he lived in, but he lived on someone else's property in a trailer that he had.
What we're at? Well, what state?
Oh, California. It's Pear Blossom.
I don't know where that is.
Okay, well, it's, I'm not really sure exactly where it is either.
Southern California, Northern California?
Southern California. I believe it's north of here, but I think it's Southern California. It's only, yeah, it's got to be. It's only a few hours away.
Okay, so what about counties? What county?
You know, if you wanted to ask my mom, she could tell you. I really don't remember all that well.
Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. You have access to any other weapons?
No. No other firearms. Okay. No one in my family really has many guns. Okay. Except for an uncle of mine who lives up in Oregon, so wouldn't say I had any access to that.
Okay. You still friends with Christian?
Well, there was... We were really good friends. We kind of drifted apart a little bit when he never really got along with my girlfriend. So that kind of, we haven't spoken for a little while.
Okay, well, tell me about that.
Well, I'm not completely sure why, but he just never really got along with my girlfriend, and there was, just a lot of tension between him and her, so I always had to, like, divide up my time between the both of them. And then, but then he had just kind of been kind of a jerk for a while, and I was just asking him to apologize to her, and he didn't want to, and then finally he ended up cussing her out, so I'm like, dude, look, I don't want to talk to you. But, I mean, it wasn't any kind of hostile thing. It's just like, you two obviously aren't working together.
So it's fair to say you guys aren't friends right now?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. But you're surely not enemies.
Yeah, no, there's no.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the guns that Christian had.
Guns that Christian had? Let's see. There was the only firearm that I'm not really sure that he would have had access to anything. There was a was it a Winchester? 1300 or something, but it's a newer one, so it's a Winchester Defender or something. That's the only firearm I'm really aware of.
What about your girlfriend, Sarah? Mm-hmm. Does she have any guns?
I think her grandpa owns something, but I've never even seen him.
Okay. What about her dad or brothers or anything?
Oh,
like that?
She lives with her grandparents, I should have stated that.
Okay. What about who's Christian's girlfriend?
Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm. So what about Jackie? She have any firearms?
Well, because I helped her move too, I didn't move any firearms. She just doesn't strike me as the person to have any guns.
So how long have you and Christian been kind of separated?
I'm not sure. I've just kind of been losing track since things. I've just been doing lots of stuff with, well, just a lot of stuff been going on, like with my, like with the petty theft and everything like that. But it was a few months.
Well, that was in July, right? The petty theft?
Probably July.
So it's only been 2 months?
Maybe. Wait, the petty theft, wasn't that in June?
Maybe May or something like that.
It was May or June.
Okay. So what does Christian do with his time?
I really don't even know. Last thing I had heard, he had he was working at Soak City. I don't know if he still does.
Well, even, you know, say 4 months ago, you know, March, same, April, when you guys were hanging out.
Same thing as me, just playing games and working. But he didn't want to do school, so gave him a little extra time. But
so what's he doing with his life?
I don't know. Last thing I heard, he wanted to keep doing the military.
Okay. And that's what you guys told me back then about that. What's he waiting for?
I don't know. He said that he wanted to go by the beginning of this year or something like that. Maybe it was the middle of this year or something.
And now we're at the end of the year. Yeah. I mean, I'm just asking you because you're his friend.
Yeah.
You were his friend. You know more about him than a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Do you know why he hasn't gone into the military?
I really don't know. I really don't know. He seemed like that was really, really what he wanted to do. And he seemed more likely to go through it than me. I really wanted to, but, you know, with my things were, you know, kind of going along with my girlfriend and stuff, so.
Other than those, the shotgun and the 7.62 you're talking about, any of your other friends have any weapons?
Christian was really my only like real friend that I really hung out with, right. And so I haven't really, not no really other friends to speak of. It's really just me and my girlfriend in school. Like that.
I mean, have you associated with people?
I'll talk.
Parties who have weapons out or anything like that?
No, sir. I haven't even been to a party, and I have no idea how long.
Are you fascinated with guns?
Am I fascinated? I they're cool. You know, that's why I got one. You know, that, you know, I like to have one, but it's, you know, not like insane about it or anything.
Okay. Have you ever? I mean, you shot your guns, I would assume, right? Where do you typically go shoot at?
Well, I really don't typically go shooting, but I've gone up to the Thousand Palms. There's like a shooting area that everyone goes to. I don't know if you've
seen. I mean, I know people go around and shoot in the desert, and I'm just curious whether it's right or wrong, whatever. I mean, people own guns to shoot guns. You know, so the best way to be safety conscious of a gun is to know how to use it and maybe shoot it from time to time. I was just curious on, you know, if you did things like that.
I've gone, but I honestly haven't even gone very often because it's been, you know, it's been hot. Finally starting to cool off. I'd like to take it out sometime soon, but it's still a little warm.
What about your girlfriend? How does she feel about shooting and guns and all that?
Well, she likes them, but especially like with the rifle I have, since it's, you know, it's like all wooden stock with a metal little butt plate. It, you know, it's powerful. She can only shoot like once or twice, and she's got a dead arm for the rest of the day. So, but she likes it.
Well, most girls don't like guns.
And yeah.
Like,
you know, eh. Yeah, but that's why. She really works with me. She's, you know, she likes the video games, and not a lot of the girls do. And she's just.
Do you ever shoot like a pistol?
Have I ever? I shot. Let's see. I've shot one. Not in a long time. I don't even know whose it was. It was this old. It was a .22 revolver. I'm not even sure who owned it, but. Not in a long time, but I'm gonna have to somehow acquire one for the peace officer class because you're required to carry a firearm or have a firearm to go shooting with. So I'm gonna trying to talk my brother into getting one.
What about you? Never shot a semi-automatic pistol?
Yeah.
You know what that is, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, you know anyone who has one?
No, I don't know anyone who currently owns one. I'm sure maybe my, there's a couple uncles of mine. One of them lives in San Francisco, one of them lives in Oregon, and they both hunt, as far as I know, you know, somewhat
Also, I'd imagine they'd have one.
You ever see a pistol? You know, a semi-automatic pistol in person?
In person, just, you know, like, just like museums and stuff. I never really played with one or anything, you know.
Okay.
Just airsoft guns and just replicas and stuff like that.
Now, you dated Becky for how long?
About a year and 2 or 3 months.
Okay. How often would you go up to her house up in Pinion?
How often? I'd say kind of often. She spent a lot of her time down in the desert rather than being up there since she worked down there, and she would often stay with her friends. So, I mean, I'd say she, you know, I hung out with her down in the desert more often than I went up to her house, but I've been up there a few times. Gotten lost just about every time. Or one time it was our year anniversary. Went up there at night and got my car stuck in that. It was actually my mom's car. Got mom's car stuck in the sand because I went the wrong way. I was trying to turn around. But I can't get up there to save my life.
So when you say that, what do you mean?
What's that?
You can't get up there to save your life.
Oh, well, just as the, you know, expression implies, you know, even if, like, your life counted on it, you'd still end up screwing it up because you're not good at something.
Or you mean because of the roads or because you don't know the directions?
Because you drive up a street and then it turns into dirt roads, and a lot of that just kind of, I'd always end up getting lost.
Okay. So if you were to drive up there in the daytime, do you think you could find your house?
Oh, no. Especially not now. That no way.
I'm surprised. There's only two turns and you're there.
Two turns? There was, say, about four, because I remember I wrote it down. I had a piece of paper in my wallet. I was, let me know. It's like, oh, turn after, you know, the sign, or one of the turns was turning after like a little section of fence where they had llamas. I remember that.
I was referring to the two turns after the main road, you know.
Two turns? Yeah, it's, so you take a right and...
You know where Palm Canyon is, right? The dirt road that goes off of Highway 74?
I don't know any of the street
74 is the mountain.
I know that's the main road.
So there's a sign that says, you know, Palm Canyon.
It's the one
you get into the neighborhood, basically.
I never used the street signs. I always just went off of, different sites.
You remember a big street with about 30 mailboxes right next to the main street?
That would make sense because it's the only mailboxes.
Everyone has a mailboxes right there at the main place. You ever drive by there?
Did I ever drive by there?
Yeah.
Well, wait, don't you have to go by there to get to Ralph? Well, then, of course, I would have.
I don't know. I mean, you can drive down a lot of dirt roads to get places. I'm just saying that's the main road. I don't know what your normal motive.
Okay. Well, I'd imagine that's the one if that's the way.
So if you pass the mailboxes, what way would you get to Becky's house?
I'm just assuming that the mailbox is that's the street.
It is. That's what I'm saying. If I drove there, I would drive down Highway 74 and turn down the mailboxes.
Okay. So imagine I'd do the same thing as you. I know it's the street that you turn off of 74 is the same street to get to that park or reserve or whatever it is right there. It's a little camping area. I know that's the street that you turn off of 74.
Okay. How many times do you think you were at Becky's house during your time?
How many times up there? I was up there a few times.
I mean, more than 10, less than 10?
Probably a little more than 10, but probably about 10. Actually, that's probably about a good guesstimate.
Okay.
I mean, it's like ends up being about a little over a 40-minute drive from my house, so.
What would you guys normally do up there?
Watch movies. Hang out with her mom and her stepdad, would hang around. They cooked a lot, experimented with a deep fryer.
What type of people were Vicky's mom?
Rebecca's mom?
Becky's mom.
Yeah, so yeah, Vicky and John, right?
Right.
They seem nice. They just, they were, I don't know, they just seemed a little different than me. Maybe, you know, not like hostile to me or anything. They just seemed, you know, just kind of different personality. But they were, you know, we'd sit down and watch movies that would come on and stuff like that. But
did you guys ever do anything outside the house?
No. Oh, me and the parents? Definitely not.
Okay. What about you and Becky?
We'd run around and play with, there's like plants that you kind of like pull the tops off and you kind of make a little sword out of it. We'd done that before, but that's really it.
I mean, there's a lot of property up there.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys ever go shooting up there or anything?
No. I wanted to because she had told me that her stepdad owned guns and he had spoken with me about taking me shooting, and I wanted to. That was before I had my rifle and gotten shooting since I was like a little kid. So I was, yeah, wanted to try it.
What type of guns did he have?
You know what? He showed me them once, and I don't, there, he had a, some sort of revolver, and then there was a few rifles. I know he said one of them was a pellet gun, one of them was a .22, and then there was a couple other big ones, but I don't know what, models they were or anything. Because I only saw them one time.
What else did you make you do up there? You know, did you have dirt bikes or anything?
No. No, it's mainly inside. Sure. But we really just watched a lot of movies. She had a pretty big movie collection. We could go through that a lot.
Well, what's this deal with all this hiking business?
She had invited me to go hiking, and I had told her I would, and I didn't, you know, I wasn't planning on going because I knew she would have kept on bugging me, so I just said I would, and then I was planning on just, you know, canceling. You know, last minute, and then, you know, then she didn't go hiking with whatever guy she was going hiking with or whatever, but, and, yeah, that was it.
And when was this?
When was it? Wait, when was?
You're telling me about a hiking event. I'm asking you when that was.
Well, that was the thing. That was when she had, the night we were supposed to go hiking, and it was supposed to be me and her and some other guy who I don't know, and that was the night that happened.
That what happened?
She was, yeah, that they were all killed.
Well, tell me about this other guy.
I don't know. I honestly can't remember whether she said he was a Marine or if I just assumed he was, because that's who she associated with a lot. I'd heard about her and one of her sisters got going and hanging out at the Marine base, 29 Palms Marine base, kind of a lot, hanging out with the Marines there. So, I like I said, I'm not sure if he actually was or not.
Did Becky ever tell you of a specific person she was dating, or?
No, she didn't. The only clue that I could have as to who it was that Javier, I don't know if you've spoken with him, I'd imagine you would have. He was like Rebecca's like best friend. He said that like an actual son of John, like a son from a previous marriage or something like that, was actually supposed to go up there. So that, like, and I guess he was supposed to be there like that day or something, so that's who I imagined was she was going hiking with.
So it would almost be her relative if John was related to her.
It would be her stepbrother or something? Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So is that what your opinion is, or is that what Javier is telling you?
Javier said that he was supposed to be there.
Okay. And this is Javier is telling you this?
Javier told me that because he called me the morning after that night because I guess he had spoken with her, and so as far as she knew, she told him that I was supposed to be with her, so he calls me. He's like, oh, you know, what happened, you know, he tells me what happened. He's like, well, wait, were you with her? And I said, no, he wasn't, I wasn't. And then he said that there was supposed to be the other guy there too. But he, but that was when he said there's only three bodies that they had found, and he wasn't sure if maybe one of those was the stepbrother or what.
How do you know Javier?
Javier, I had gone to school with him. I went to middle school with him too, I think. And his mom is Bonnie Garcia, the assembly woman, or I'm not sure what her actual title is or whatever, but not.
Well, certainly you don't know him because of his mom's being an assembly person.
Yeah, no, but I know him because I went to school with him.
Okay. Are you guys friends?
I haven't spoken with him in a little bit, but I mean, I've seen him around school and I've said hi.
Okay. Is this school as in high school or college?
College, now.
Presently? Okay. When's the last time you seen him?
I don't think I've seen him since last semester ago or something.
Okay. Well, this is, last semester would be prior to June, or is
it? Yeah, that's why I haven't spoken with him in excess of 5 months, something like that.
Okay. Do you guys have each other's phone numbers?
I don't know. I might still have his number.
Okay. I was just curious. You said he called you.
Yeah, he did.
Why would he have your phone number?
Well, like I said, I had his phone number at one point. But I'm not sure if I still do. So he had my number too.
So you guys are good enough friends that you...
Yeah, we had each other's phone numbers. The other thing also was that I had done a school project with him. And so, we had to exchange desk numbers because I went over to his house and we worked on a school project.
Did you guys hang out with each other?
That was the only time that I've actually spent time with him out of school.
And you did the project?
Yes, sir.
Did you two and Becky hang out?
No. I think when I was hanging out with Becky one point, a couple times, we've seen him around and say hi to him, but we've never, like, all hung out.
So, let's forget about what Javier said.
Okay.
Okay, but going back to the night Becky was killed.
Okay.
You're telling me something about this hiking trip. Why did you think someone else was going to be there?
She had said that she was trying to get me to go hiking, and I didn't particularly want to go. We had broken up since, and she was, I was kind of in the process of, I'd speak with her once in a while, but I was trying to make it, fewer and fewer calls, and she wanted to go hiking, and then she included there that there was some other guy who was supposed to be there, and I had no idea who it was. I'm like, oh, yeah, I can go.
And did she say who?
She didn't say it. But like I said, I couldn't remember if she had said that he was a Marine or if that was just in my head.
Who did she invite to go up there?
Me.
Okay. Anyone else?
Some other guy. That's what I don't know.
Okay. Well, where does Christian fit in with this?
Christian doesn't fit in with a hiking trip.
Remember when Becky came over to Christian's house?
Yeah, I was at Christian's house.
Right.
So I guess that'd be the only time he fits in anymore.
Okay, so when Becky... This was the day before the murder.
When she came over?
Right.
Was it? I believe it was, but I wasn't sure.
Becky called you? And said she was in the area and you were at Christian's house?
Yeah, she said that she was doing some homework or something with a friend of hers or something. She said she just wanted to stop by and say hi or something. And I'm like, well, I'm over at Christian's. And
okay. So when she got to Christian's house and talked to you, was Christian present?
I think Christian walked out, and I think he just said hi, and I think he walked out one more time to say bye or something. But I'm not sure if he was... If he was there, I don't think he was standing there the whole time. I can't remember.
Was he involved in the hiking conversation?
No, there was...
Were you going to go out to Becky's house with Christian?
No, I wasn't.
Were you going to go up to Becky's at all?
Well, I wasn't going to.
It was never your intent to go up
there? It was never my intent to actually go hiking.
Okay. Did you lead Becky to believe that you and Christian were going to go up there together?
No. I don't believe so. I believe I just said I was just going to go.
Yeah. So why would other people believe that you and Christian were the ones going up there?
I'm not sure. I mean, I suppose it's possible that that maybe he was included since he was there. But I, as far as my recollection, I thought it was just me.
Does Christian know who Becky is?
Well, I had dated her for, you know, that period of time, a year and 3 months, and he's been my friend since like sixth grade. So.
Okay, so he knew Becky.
Yeah.
Was he friends with Becky?
He never, you know, hung out with her or talked to her unless it was through me in some way. But okay. The three of us have hung out before.
Okay. So, did you ever call Becky and tell her you weren't coming up there?
I ended up speaking with her, and I said before when I'd spoken with you how it happened. I don't remember. I can't remember if she called me first or if I called her first, because that was all somewhere around the time I was calling the church. But I don't remember how that went, but I had said it before, so I never thought of writing it down.
Okay, so did you tell her that you weren't not coming up there?
I at some point did tell her that I wasn't coming.
Okay. Are you positive about that?
I did tell her eventually that I was not going to go hiking with her.
Okay. And when you told her that, was that in person or on the phone?
It was on the phone.
Okay. Whose phone?
My phone. Was it my phone or... Well, I don't know. Well, because I believe... Since I used the 411 number, it's possible that I used Christian's, like I got the number on my phone and then called on Christian's phone. So I'm really not sure which phone it was.
You got what number?
The number for the church.
Okay, but what does that have to do with?
So I'm not sure which phone I had ended up talking to her with, because I remember her, I think she ended up calling back because she wasn't happy that I had canceled. And I think she ended up calling back on Christian's. So I think the first time I spoke with her was on my phone, and then she called back again on Christian's phone. I believe. I'm not going to...
So when you had this conversation with Becky, where were you at?
I was driving over to the church.
Okay, so obviously you were on a cell phone, right?
Yes.
You didn't use your home phone?
No.
Christian have a home phone at his dad's place?
Yeah.
Are you guessing or what?
Yeah, he's got a home phone at his dad's house, yeah.
Because his dad told me they didn't have a home phone.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought they did.
Well, that's what I asked you, if you're guessing or...
I just assumed they did. I mean, but I don't think anyone used the home phone anyway.
Okay, well, you're not sure about things, so I'm trying to clarify things.
Okay.
Okay. You had this conversation with Becky. Mm. Okay. That seems kind of important. And I'm just trying to find out if you called and canceled, or if that was your intent, you never got around to it.
I know that I did end up canceling, but I don't remember if she called me or I called her, and I don't remember using Christian's phone at all. Especially his dad's phone. I don't believe I did.
Do you know Becky's phone number?
Not anymore.
Okay. Did you memorize it before, or did you just hit your, you know, her name on your cell phone and click call?
I imagine I knew it.
Okay. So if you were to call Becky, would you type in her number, or would you just scroll down to her name and hit enter?
On my phone, I've got her saved as a, you know, it was saved as a, one of the quick dial numbers, so I just pushed like, you know, 8 or something.
Okay. So what speed dial, what was she?
I don't remember.
Is she still on your phone?
No.
Okay. What number would this be? Her cell phone, home phone?
I had her cell phone and her home phone because her cell phone, it wouldn't get service up in an area.
Okay. What about Christian? Does he have her number?
Now or then?
Then.
It's possible. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, would you give him your girlfriend's number, or
probably would, in case, you know, Because he doesn't usually answer numbers he doesn't recognize, so it would make sense that he would have her number, you know.
Cell phone, home?
If he had one, he'd probably have the other. Just because sometimes, if she was ever going to call him, for whatever reason, sometimes she called him to get a hold of me, it would be from her house phone if she was up in Pinion, because she couldn't use her cell phone.
Have you ever hiked with her before?
We've walked around. We've never actually gone like hiking.
Okay.
So that was another thing that we had spoken about doing. We wanted to go shooting and we wanted to go hiking, but we never actually did it.
Where would she go hiking at?
Just around her house. She told me about when if you're standing at her house, like if you look like back, there's some mountains that go up. She says she'd multiple times she'd like walk all the way back there and back, and she said she'd do that sometime.
Did you ever walk back there?
Never actually walked that far.
Earlier you mentioned something about a wheelbarrow.
Yes.
What was the deal with that?
Well, Javier told me, he called me and told me that there was a body in a wheelbarrow, and he later told me that it was her body.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a wheelbarrow at her house?
I don't know. There's all sorts of tools. They had a little tractor and things like that. I imagine there would be a wheelbarrow. But I don't believe I've personally seen it.
Okay. So if you haven't personally seen it, then it's fair to say you've never touched it.
I wouldn't imagine, but I've played around in their garage before, just because there's a lot of, he had a lot of power tools. I know if I've played with the different tools. Some are power tools, some are gasoline.
Right, but there's a difference between tools and a wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
You know what a wheelbarrow is, right?
I know what it is, but you know, like with the phone thing, I just assumed. I'm not going to say I never touched it, because it's possible that I've touched it before.
How could it be possible if you never recall seeing one?
Well, I mean, things can be somewhere and you don't remember it being there.
Surely you remember a wheelbarrow.
Well, I mean, I don't know what their garage looked like after the fire. It could look like, in the pictures I saw, like online, looked like that side wasn't the garage side wasn't as burnt as bad, so I don't know if the garage is okay. But if you've seen it, there's a lot of stuff in the garage. So it's kind of like my grandma's garage down here. There's a lot of things in there, and I'm sure I've touched a lot of them and couldn't recall it being there.
You know what DNA is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I'm talking about not DNA from years ago. I'm talking about DNA and fingerprints that are left at a crime scene.
Okay.
You know, that's stuff that you say, you know, hey, this is stuff that's left now, not from 6 months ago or 12 months ago and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
So she died on a particular date.
Okay.
We processed the crime scene for evidence.
Okay.
And certain evidence was collected. Okay. And that evidence tells us certain stuff. And even gives us time frames. Okay. So would your DNA or fingerprints indicate that you were at that house on a day?
You're asking me?
Yeah. Does she die?
No, it would not be there.
Okay. Do you know of anyone else that maybe told you that they were up there?
No, there's the only person that I would, you know, like imagine that I had heard about was either like the stepbrother or some Marine or something, but no one really told me that they were supposed to be there.
Okay. Now, you mentioned about Becky dating, you know, the Marines or whatever. What makes you think, why would she invite you up there if she's inviting someone else that you don't know up there?
I believe that she still had feelings for me. I was the one who broke up with her, and she didn't like that. I moved on. I'd gotten my current girlfriend, And, you know, I'd moved on and everything, and, you know, I was trying to, like, slowly, like, kind of just shut off contact with her. But, you know, she still wanted to hang out with me.
Okay. So, why would she invite you up there and invite someone else that you didn't know?
I don't know.
I mean, that wouldn't impress you, would it?
It wouldn't. The only thing I could imagine would be that she'd want to make me maybe jealous or something, but I mean, okay. I'm only speculating. I don't know why. It seemed odd to me at the time, and kind of another reason why I didn't want to go.
Becky had feelings for you. Did you have feelings for her still?
She was a big part of my life, and, you know, I couldn't just cut off everything, but it was, you know, I was in the process of moving on. Definitely there wasn't as much feelings as there was, you know, earlier.
Okay. So say, let's take like the 7 days prior to her death.
Okay.
Because I understand, you know, you guys broke up, like, what, January of 06?
I don't. So we broke up in January. That would make sense.
Do you know when she died?
September, because the year
anniversary
just came around. No, I don't know.
Okay. So in those 9 months, have you guys communicated, or what was the relationship in those 9 months? Specifically, say September. I'm sure February, maybe you guys talk more than September, or vice versa, so tell me how that worked.
I think the time that I had spoken with her, like the night before or day before or whatever, before the murder, whatever happened.
It was a murder.
Okay. All right. Then I hadn't spoken with her in, you know, a little good amount of time, you know, because I was, you know, like I was saying, I was trying to slowly stop the communication, just kind of move on.
I don't know what you mean for your time frame, a little amount of time.
Okay. I honestly don't remember the last time I had spoken with her before that. It was probably more than a month.
Did you talk to her on the day she died?
The day? Yes.
Okay. How many times do you think you talked to her on the day she died?
I believe once.
Okay. Did you see her that day?
No, not that day.
Okay. The day before she died, you talked to her in person at
Christian's
house?
Yes.
Okay. Did you, and I know you said she called on the phone before she got to Christian's house.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's two communications that day. Did you guys have any other conversation that day?
Wait, two communications that day?
She called you, said, I'm in the area, and I'm going to come by. Then she showed up at Christian's house.
Okay.
So you guys had two conversations.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So other than those two conversations, did you talk to her at any other time on that day before she died?
I don't think so. But I mean, I guess it's always possible that, you know, it's like, oh, she called to say something real quick or something. But there shouldn't have been any other like detailed conversations.
What about that day before? 2 days before she died.
I don't believe I spoke with her.
Okay. I mean, because if you talk to her one time, you may not remember. It could be insignificant. But if you talk to her 20 times, obviously you would remember. You
know? Okay. Okay.
So that's what I'm getting at.
I don't believe I did. But I don't remember. It was, you know, some time ago.
Okay. It's not going to serve us much purpose if we talk about things and we just get a whole bunch of I don't remembers.
Okay.
Obviously, well, that's why.
But then again, I don't want to say something that's clearly wrong, you know. So,
sure.
I mean, I
don't want you to do that either.
I was trying to be, you know, like, honest about the phone thing. I assumed he did, you know, it just would be weird to me that he didn't have a phone, but I guess he didn't then. So.
And I can relate to that, Robert, because that's why I'm not here assuming things. Isn't that fair?
Wait, say that again?
Yeah. I said, I'm not assuming things.
Okay.
And that's fair for you, because if I don't know something, I'm asking you specifically. I don't want to sit here and assume something because I could be wrong in assuming something that you're not talking about.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm trying to be specific so we're not miscommunicating. So don't take my specific questions the wrong way. I want to understand what you're talking about. You know? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to find out about you guys' relationship prior to her death. You know, have you guys communicated? Have you guys, you know, was it one or two phone calls? Was it 20 or 30 phone calls? You know,
I mean, it wasn't in any way a bad relationship. There was no reason, you know, there wasn't any kind of like hostility or anything like that. It was just kind of like a relationship.
Do you guys text messages? Use text message?
I imagine we would.
The night she died, you talked to her. Did you ever call her and not get a hold of her?
Did I call her and not get a hold of her? Well, I mean, it was, since it was the house phone, sometimes they wouldn't pick up. I couldn't, you know, rule that out.
Well, you know, you have an answering machine, you left a message. Maybe you called her on her cell phone. You left a message on her cell phone.
I shouldn't have left a message on her cell phone that day. I don't think so, because unless I thought that she was supposed to be down in the desert, but I believe I knew that she was up there.
Okay. So if you thought she was in the desert and you called her on her cell phone and she was home, obviously her phone went answered.
Yeah, it would go straight to her answering machine.
Would you leave a message?
Would I, if I thought she was down in the desert? Yeah, it'd be like, oh, hey, you know, call her or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
So if you're going to cancel your hiking trip, would you call her cell phone or her home phone?
I would call the phone to where I thought she was. And I believe I would have called the house phone because I believe that she was up there. I believe that's what my mindset at the time.
What time were you supposed to go hiking?
We didn't have... I remember speaking with her. She just said after work, and I said, you know, after work, I've got to, you know, take a shower and stuff like that. So it's obviously going to be sometime after that, but I don't remember if we set a specific time.
After your work or her work?
My work. I don't think she worked that day.
Okay, so you got off work at 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Okay. So what time would you call her in order to cancel? I mean, she would expect you at some point.
Yeah.
Daytime, nighttime?
If anything, it would probably be a little bit later, because I think I was trying to kind of just save it for the last minute, just kind of like, oh, something just came up real quick or something. So I believe, if anything, I would have saved it till a little bit later.
Okay. So what time do you think?
Well, we were late for church and stuff, so about 5 or 6. It'd obviously have to be, you know, after 6 or something. I guess it'd be between 6 and 8 or something.
Okay.
But I thought 8 seems too late anyway. So I'd imagine it before that.
Okay, well, the only thing before 8 and after 6 would be 7.
I guess that seems like a fair number, right, that I would guesstimate.
So it would be fair to say that you would call Becky around 7 to cancel because you would anticipate she would have been home at that time?
I'd imagine, yeah. I'd say that would seem fair.
Okay. So would there be a telephone record of you calling her cell phone at 7 o'clock?
There should be. Obviously you've got the records, and
should be? No, I said her cell phone at 7 o'clock.
Should I have called her cell phone at 7 o'clock?
Would there be a record of you calling her cell phone at 7 o'clock?
It's possible if I thought that she was there, but I...
Well, why would you call her cell phone if you thought she was home?
That's what I'm saying. I believe now that my mindset then was that I knew she was up there. But it's possible she wasn't. I mean, there, I didn't know. I was calling her cell phone just in case or something.
Okay. There are some issues that we need to resolve about all this.
Okay.
And there's a lot of maybes and not sure.
Okay, well, okay. I think that within the year that it's been, that would seem understandable.
Okay. If you're...
I mean, if I asked you, like, a, you know, who called who, and at what phone number you called the person a year ago, I mean, obviously you're not going to remember unless it was significant, like, you know, what had happened, not any question about it. But even then, it's been about a year.
Is Becky's death significant to you?
Yeah. I mean, like emotionally, or I mean, what was it? I mean, I...
Significant.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, it was a horrible thing that happened.
Yeah. I would think you would want to do everything in your power to help find who did this to Becky.
And I would, if I could help out, and I, you know, I'm trying to remember, but...
Okay, so you would want to help me find out what happened to Becky and who did this?
Yes.
Would you do everything in your power to do that?
Yeah, if there's anything, you know, I could ask someone, or, you know, if there's someone you wanted me to talk to or something, I mean, I'm not really sure what you mean by that, but yeah, if there was a way I could help, I would.
Okay. Is there someone that you know that I could talk to?
The only person who I would know who had contact with her would be Javier. I'd say Javier, because I believe he spoke with her on a regular basis, you know, like daily, you know, every day or other day or something. So he would be the only other person.
Okay.
I didn't really know much of her friends.
If the first time that you talked to Detective Michaels, do you remember talking to him in this room?
Yes.
And he was asking you about, you know, all this stuff about Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that you were going to go hiking with him, or go hiking with Becky?
Yeah, I was supposed to, yes.
Okay. But you didn't tell him that you canceled.
I thought I did.
But you didn't.
I didn't tell him that I did cancel him? What did I say, that I never spoke with her, or?
No, you just didn't. You just blew her off, basically. You didn't intend to go.
Well, because I believe I remember talking about her calling, I believe she called Christian's cell phone after that, because she knew I blew her off. Somehow, I believe.
Why would she call Christian's cell phone?
Because if she was trying to get a hold of me, Christian would be the only other person to get to, because I'm usually...
Why would she try to get a hold of you?
Because obviously if I wasn't there, or I hadn't talked to her, you know, what happened, then obviously she'd want to get a hold of me and find out what's going on.
But didn't you just tell me you talked to her in council?
I believe I did.
So why would she call Christian and try to get a hold of you?
Because I believe I called and canceled, and she wasn't happy about it, so she, and then I, yeah, so she called Christian to get a hold of me, because I believe if I had stopped, you know, talking to her, maybe she called me and I didn't pick up or something.
Okay. Alright, you want to drink a water?
My mouth is a little bit dry, but I mean, I was just...
We're almost done.
Okay.
All right, that's enough for today. After LeClaire leaves the room, he's gone for a while, and then he returns without the water and has several more questions. He eventually swabs Robert for DNA, tries to get him to take a polygraph, then eventually puts Robert and Christian alone in the room for a while so that he can observe them. You're going to hear all of that and more in tomorrow's special edition of Truth and Justice. Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Wondery. Edited by Mike Bussing and sound engineered by Shane Yoder. All music for the show was created, composed, and scored by PutThemInASong.com, who also mixed and mastered this episode. All of our fonts across all of our logos and banners were created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design, and you can find more of Tate's work on Etsy. Thank you to Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com for designing, creating, managing, and maintaining our website, TruthAndJusticePod.com, where you can view all photos and documents discussed in every episode. And a big thank you to our transcription team, Pamela Westby, Kathy McElhaney, Kaywood Yomnick, Ginger Fiola, Erica Cantor, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Ford, Courtney Wimberly, and Melissa Cardenas. And as always, thank you to all of you for all of your engagement and support. If you like the show and you'd like to support us, you can do so in several ways. To financially support the show, the best thing you can do is just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You'll not only be supporting the show, but you'll get something in return. On Patreon, you can pledge as little as $3 a month, and we have reward levels. For just $5 a month, you get access to ad-free versions of all of our episodes and behind-the-scenes bonus video content every week. Then other reward levels include t-shirts, hats, and even the opportunity to co-host one of our Friday follow-up episodes. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice. You can also do us a huge favor by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. And lastly, you can always support us by supporting the brands that sponsor this program. If you have a new case you'd like us to consider for future seasons, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. And the most important thing that you can do is to engage in our investigations. You can keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the Truth and Justice Podcast fans page on Facebook. And for all you tweeters out there, you can connect with us on Twitter @TruthJusticePod. And I can be found personally on all forms of social media @BobRuffTruth. And don't forget that we always have our 24/7 voicemail line open for questions, comments, or tips on our cases. That phone number is 269-224-2833. However you do it, stay engaged, stay in touch. But as for now, I'm signing off. I'm Bob Ruff, and this has been Truth and Justice.